So thank you everyone for coming to this webinar on 7 steps to write your novel. And we will be also looking a bit at how to write your novel in a year. That's something that I know is something very important to people. So we're going to be covering that. I will put my slides up and we will get on with it. Here, I mean, many of you are here because you're already on my email list, but I just wanted to kind of start by, you know, where I am now is, you know, I have, I think, 12 novels and I've just written number 13 and I've got nonfiction and, you know, I make my living this way. But I wanted to take you back because the whole point of this webinar is to really go back to the beginning. And I started writing nonfiction in 2008 and then I started writing my first novel in 2009. And then the picture in the middle there is me in 2011 with my first book, Pentecost, which I re-released as Stone of Fire a couple of years ago. And that's an interesting question in itself. But basically, how, you know, what we'll be going through this evening is that process to get to that first novel. And then I promise you, if you haven't written that first novel yet, getting that first one done is a very liberating experience and can unleash your creativity. And then I have, I guess, speeded up over the years to the point where I now have the 12 novels and 13th on the way. So I'll be sharing today my lessons learned from that journey in the hope that it won't take you as long as it took me to get this far. Okay, so this is what we're going to go through. 7 steps to write your novel. That's going to be the main bulk of the presentation. And then also a plan for writing a novel in a year. Then we're going to look at if you need more help. And I'm going to give a bit of an introduction to my course on and my community on writing a novel. And then we'll do the Q&A time. So please vote up the best questions. And I will give you the slide download link. So that is our plan. So without further ado, let's get straight in. Start with this. So the writing craft is like an iceberg. And the reason I say this is because this is only an hour. So obviously we are not going to make it through every single thing you need to be the most amazing novelist in the whole world. But the great thing is you can write that first novel, or, you know, if you're struggling, you can write a novel with the tiny bit of knowledge above the water. In the iceberg metaphor, but there's always more to learn. And of course, this is the journey of a lifetime. So I fully expect to just give you a tiny little dip in the water today, but I hope that if you get one or two things from this presentation, that will be useful for you. Okay, so step one. Understand what you're writing and why. And I'm starting with the mindset aspect of writing, because it's surprising how many authors just jump into like scribbling things without considering what they're writing and why. So one of the biggest things that people, sort of the biggest continuum, I think, is, you know, on the one hand, you have the Pulitzer Prize winning literary fiction. On the other hand, you have 50 Shades of Grey. And I put a quote there that is on there, terrible writing, but I can't put it down. Over 100 million copies sold of 50 Shades of Grey. So it's a great example of a definition of success, which was pleasing readers and making money. But one of the very important questions for you, and if this is the question you haven't answered yet, very important to answer it. What is the definition of success for your book? And really be honest, because some people will say, oh, well, I just want to finish my book, and then they're disappointed when it doesn't sell. Or some people might want critical acclaim and then, you know, and not necessarily make any money, and then they're not happy if they don't win a prize. So I want you to try and think about, like, why are you writing? Why do you want to write this book? Why do you want to finish it? Is it a desire to tell a story, change someone's life, reach readers? And how is that defined? Is it, 5,000 people buy your book? Wow. Is it 50 people buy your book? I mean, that could be there. Do you want to make significant income, or any income? Do you want to get into a physical bookstore near your house so that your friends can see it, which is completely fine too? Or do you want to have an agent or publisher validation for your work? And that is very important for many writers. And the decisions you make here, your definition of success, why you're writing, will impact what you write, how you publish, how you market, and how happy you are later. So it's super important that you think about this upfront. So that's thinking about you. And I think authors are actually pretty good at thinking about themselves. So the first one is know thyself. And the second one is really thinking about your readers. And this is something that is actually very difficult, and I completely understand how hard this is. But you have to start thinking about who is going to read your book. Where are they in the book ecosystem? What are their expectations of the genre? And the only way to do this, I've found, because when I first started, and I've got to say, I got this wrong. When I started writing, I titled that first book Pentecost. Now, it is more like a Dan Brown book. And Stone of Fire, which it became, is a much better title for it because it's not a Christian book. And many people thought it was because of the title. I didn't think deeply enough about my potential readers. So I want you to consider, what are the 5 to 10 best-selling or award-winning books that are similar to the story you want to write? And I would suggest the authors are alive. I met an author last night, actually, whose favorite author was Vladimir Nabokov. And I said, you know, to be fair, you can't actually emulate Nabokov these days. You have to find a better role model. but his goal was to win awards. So I said, brilliant, you know, go ahead. A traditional publishing might be best. So when you're thinking about these different things, you can absolutely write what you love and write what's on your heart. But if your definition of success involves making some income, you have to also write something that will find an audience. And that's why you can see some very good examples of genre here. Nicholas Sparks is obviously romance. You know what you're going to get in that book, although knowing Sparks, there might be some weeping as well. George R.R. Martin, a sword there. Even if you didn't know Game of Thrones, you should know that that is fantasy or historical fiction. And then Stephen King, The Shining, very dark, covers for horror/thriller. So those are some of the first few things that you've got to understand. We have quite a lot to get through in just the hour. So after you've decided what your definition of success is and why you are writing, you should have a few things written down on your list there. The next thing is to fill your creative well. And this is very interesting because it's one of the things that is responsible for, and I say inverted commas, writer's block. Because often writer's block, especially with a first novel, is about filling your creative well. So putting stuff in your head so your subconscious mind or your conscious mind can turn it into other things so you can then output it into a book. So if you do not put stuff in your head, how do you expect to put stuff out your head? and many authors get worried about being original at this point. And of course, there is no originality. Originality is actually taking things that exist in the world and combining them in new ways. So you're never going to be completely original. And that's fine because readers often want something that's like this type of thing, but a little bit different. So, you know, you should be reading tons of books. You should be, you know, watching great stuff on film and TV and going, oh, I really want to write something like that, but I wish it was like this. And then, that will help you fill your creative well. And this is something I learned as well over time, and got some pictures here from my London Psychic trilogy of tattoos and body modification. Now, I just want to point out that I'm what's known as a vanilla goth, which is, I love all this stuff, but I look like, you know, I haven't got tattoos, basically. but I love all this stuff. And what's interesting is when I started getting interested in body modification, tattoos, human anatomy, this type of thing, I was really worried. I was like, I don't think anyone else will find this interesting. But actually, what's fascinating is if you follow your curiosity, if you are honest about what fascinates you, you will attract people who are fascinated by the same stuff. So, and some really bad writing advice is write what you know. And I'm saying to you, don't write what you know, write what you're interested in, because that will help you fill the creative well. And start tuning in to what catches your eye. So for example, today we were in London at the British Library, and we went to the map exhibition because there's a map shop near where I live in Bath. And I've been walking past it, and I'm like, I really want to do something with maps. I love this cartography stuff. Oh, and I just see a typo on there. I actually don't think it's a typo. I think the picture was put on top. So, you know, I know what you guys are like. You love finding typos. But anyway, so notice your own interest. And we went to this map show and I took my notebook and we were wandering around and I just wrote down the things that attracted me, the things that made me interested, like redrawing the line on a map like they did, you know, after the First World War, you know, had huge consequences. So I'm following my curiosity in this direction. And I want you to get used to doing that too, because that is where the gold is. That is going to help you keep creating for the long term. And then write down the sparks that appear. And there were quotes in this map exhibition today that I wrote down. I also wrote down my thoughts off the back of what I was seeing. So I didn't necessarily write down, there was a map of fairyland, I remember. I wrote down map of fairyland, but then I kind of wrote, you know, rhymes and just little notes that I thought as I was looking at this, or the colours that stood out, or the, you know, the fact that you can turn a 3D world into a flat document, you know, just really interesting things. So I use, I have Moleskine and LookTerm notebooks. And I know there was a little bit of a discussion over notebooks in the chat earlier. So I have that physical writing, which I normally do when I'm in this sort of idea generation phase. And then I use Things app on my phone, but other people use Evernote, other things that will sync across devices, because often we're out and about. I also take pictures, put them in Pinterest or Twitter or wherever when I can find them later. And also I use Scrivener, and Scrivener is a fantastic writing tool. I will be coming back to it later, but keeping an ideas list on Scrivener is a really good idea. But as I said, I think as long as you write it down, it doesn't matter what it is. Do not obsess. Do not obsess about the tool. It's more about your process and noticing these sparks. I also feel, and I've got this written on my wall, trust emergence, because you know, I actually have a lot of notebooks. There's a few of them on the screen there. And I don't sit down and reread all my notebooks every time I want to write something new. I trust emergence. I trust that things that went into my head years ago will come out at another point. And when I was going through my notebooks, when I was writing The Successful Author Mindset earlier this year, I found this in one of my notebooks. So that's my handwriting there on the right. You probably can't read it, so I've typed it there. The broken pieces taken by the early church when Christ was resurrected, the slab he laid on was broken into pieces, searched for by many and held now by the legacy of those who persecuted. And that little piece, I wrote that in 2004, and these pieces of rock sort of that get found by big evil and very exciting book, Stone of Fire, actually had arrived years and years before and had, you know, actually resurrected themselves later on in my head when I started writing in 2009. Now, I didn't think that I'd had that idea before, but clearly it had been rattling around in my brain for years. So I want you to trust emergence, but make sure you write down the things that you find, you know, the things that you notice. And this is a bit like training. I know that some of you will feel that you don't have any ideas. And I literally think that that phase of writing a novel is because you haven't got used to listening to your ideas. You haven't noticed your ideas. So start trusting those feelings. Start trusting why your eyes go to a particular thing when you walk into a room, or when you walk into a bookshop, what do you notice? When you go to an art gallery, what do you notice? Do you even go to an art gallery? you know, if you go to the skate park, what do you notice? So just start getting used to that. You want to start thinking about. So this map thing, for example, I don't know yet what's going on, but I know that this is not a non-fiction book about how maps work. So I have to think about writing a story, not just a pile of words. And my research and my notes, they're just a pile of words. And what's interesting is that a professional editor I interviewed on the podcast, Harry DeWolf, he said that the biggest problem he finds with manuscripts from first-time authors is they give me a load of typing instead of a story. And this might literally be 100,000 words of typing, not a story. The prize-winning literary fiction writer Flannery O'Connor said, most people know what a story is until they sit down to write one. And I wanted to put that here because, again, when you're starting out writing fiction, you think because you read thousands of books that it will just be, you know, it will just happen, that you'll just naturally be able to, you know, put it all out there. But actually, it is difficult to write a story. It's not something that you naturally do. You actually have to learn a few things. And when you learn these things, it becomes a lot easier. So start thinking about what do you love about your favorite books as a reader? And I'm using The Hunger Games as an example because many people will have seen the films, even if they haven't read the book. And I think The Hunger Games is a perfect example of a story. And a story as in, you know, there's a character, something happens, there's an arc, it wraps up at the end. You feel satisfied when you go through The Hunger Games as a book or a film. So these are the questions to start thinking about, you know, when you consider your most favorite books, preferably ones that are similar to a book you want to write. So The Hunger Games is a kind of, it's YA, but it's actually a thriller. It's pretty much a thriller. So how do the books begin and end? And here, of course, we've got, Katniss would have been fine carrying on shooting rabbits in the woods with Gale until Prim is chosen for the reaping. And then the story begins. That's the inciting incident. And what is it about the character or the plot or the setting that keeps you reading? And that's really important too. Like, what is it? What do you love about these characters? And of course, Katniss, you know, is wants to save her sister, and then she wants to save her district. And then, you know, it's kind of like saving the world. She's a hero, even though she's not perfect, and that's important too. What is it about the plot, the setting? Why do you want to turn the pages? What keeps you interested? And that doesn't need to be explosions or anything. It can be character development. So, you know, depends on the type of genre. Is the book a series? Do you want to read more of that character? And this is really good for later on. And why do you crave these types of books? What emotional resonance does this book give you? And you would have seen this, I'm sure. One of the hallmarks of new writers or people writing fiction for the first time is how many books you have on writing. So I dare say you've all actually seen this type of story structure before, but I found that it didn't make sense to me for a long time. And so really trying to keep it simple, but you know, you can see The Ordinary World, Katniss is there shooting rabbits, the inciting incident, Prim is picked for the reaping, Katniss goes instead of her, and now we know what the story is. We know that the climax has to be, does Katniss survive the Hunger Games, and then how does she return to the real world? So that's how it's going to work. And this, and some people have been have questioned, how do I know when my story's finished? And this is partly to do with story structure. So if the inciting incident is Prim is chosen for the reaping, Katniss goes instead, what is the inevitable conclusion? She has to tackle the Hunger Games, the rising obstacles, and then there will have to be a big climax. Will she make it through? So does she achieve the goal of what she wants to? What's stopping her? Who's stopping her? Will she make it through? That's basically the idea of structure, is helping you design a better story that satisfies the reader, because, you know, there are these human elements that we all resonate with. And when a story works, it really works. Going back to 50 Shades of Grey, you know, she's a good storyteller, even if she's not a great writer. So structure and boundaries help you become more creative. And that's really important, because I know a lot of people resist some of this structure, but don't resist it. Let it help you. nice person. You know, she's really moody and well, she kills people. but people, what you want to, as a reader, you want to spend more time with her. So probably my biggest recommendation at the beginning with your book is to write one protagonist, so one main character. And again, The Hunger Games is a good example, because who are the books about? They're about Katniss. Now, there are other characters. I'm not saying there is only one character in your book, but the whole point of the story is the journey of one person. And then there are these other characters who were around them, the friends and the mentors and, you know, the other archetypes. But basically, if you try and write something like Game of Thrones, you are going to get yourself in trouble. The only reason George R.R. Martin can write Game of Thrones, and in fact he gets a bit lost around book four in my opinion, is that he has been writing for a long, long time. So make it easy on yourself with that first book. Pick one character and follow the story through their eyes. You can use multiple points of view, but just have one main character. And then think about these questions. So what does your character want and why? So Katniss wants to stop Prim being taken for the Hunger Games because she knows that her sister will get killed. Then once she's chosen, once she goes, she wants to survive the games and win the games. And why? Because otherwise she's dead. So there's pretty high stakes there. So you can do that with whichever of the books you're choosing as an example. Think about, what does that character want? And why? What is their goal? And then what or who is trying to stop them? And these are the antagonist characters or forces in the world. And again, with Katniss, it will be the other tributes who are in the Hunger Games, but it's also the Hunger Games itself and all the different obstacles they have to follow. I'm not a massive Harry Potter fan, but again, you could follow this through for Harry Potter. Even though there are friends, there's very clearly it's the story of Harry and his journey along the way and the people who try to stop him. How do they overcome the obstacles along the way? And these are all things that we'll come on to plot in a minute, but these questions will help you formulate a better story. So for example, the map thing that I'm thinking about, I've got a character and, you know, there will be maps involved, but basically in terms of overcoming a first obstacle, she doesn't even know how to read these particular types of maps. So she will have to learn. And that is an interesting thing they also do in the Hunger Games. You know, Katniss can use the bow and arrow, but she also has to learn some of the other things that go on in the games. She also has to work with other people. She also has to, you know, commit some violent acts along the way. So all the type of human things that we do, we create alliances, we have conflict, you know, we have family and friends and all those different aspects of human life, basically. And then how is your character changed as a result of the journey? What is different in their life by the end? And of course, at the end of book one of Hunger Games, Katniss goes back, but then we know she becomes a symbol for the resistance. So her life is very changed. So go back to the books you love the most, and you'll find that these are core aspects. Your own book. Created out of character. I mean, I write what many people would consider more plot-driven books, but actually my London Psychic trilogy is very character-driven, and my later Arcane books are much more character-driven. In fact, this one I've just finished yesterday, End of Days, is very character-driven. So think about, what does your character want and why? Now, obviously, so Katniss wants to survive the Hunger Games. So how do we have plot around that? Well, how do we try and stop them achieving what they want? So as soon as you've answered that question, what does my character want? You can then throw stuff at them. So try and stop them getting what they want. And who is stopping them get what they want? And how do they overcome the things that are thrown at them? And how do they change each time? So, you know, Katniss is this super independent person, but in order to overcome some of the obstacles, she has to make alliances, first of all with the younger girl and then with Peter. And she has to learn these new ways of being, which means she inevitably has character development. So I want you to think about plot in that way. And if you have ideas for plot that are not related to character, then that's fine too. I have some examples here. Setting. So I'm someone who loves setting. I get a lot of ideas from setting. And this example here, the Taj Mahal, Destroyer of Worlds. So basically I wanted to write a book about this particular figure, the Shiva Nataraja, who destroys the world. I want it set in India. I need to use the Taj Mahal. So basically, I knew I wanted to use setting. And before I even thought about character, I thought about how I could use the setting in the plot and then put my characters in the setting. And it turns out there's a whole lot of conspiracy theories around the Taj Mahal. So as soon as you start researching, you find these really cool things that you can put into your book. Because setting is the other really important thing about plot. You can't just have characters talking to each other in an empty white room. And this is another classic mistake of early writers. You know, they'll just have some dialogue and it's like, yeah, but where are they? You need sensory detail. What does it smell like? What are the sounds? What can you see? What colors are there? Who else is there? You know, that type of thing needs to go on. There needs to be action. There needs to be plot in a setting, in somewhere specific. Now, the other example I've got here, if those of you who don't recognize it, is in Game of Thrones, this is the Wall, which if you don't know, is a big wall at the top of the territory and kept out the wildlings and now keeps out the really bad snow people. Very interesting setting because you've got the defense of the realm by the wall. You've got the Knights of the Watch who basically have gone there to serve and to keep the bad guys out. And they've this brilliant kind of snowy, freezing landscape, which brings so much conflict to the scenes that are written at that location. So I really think that setting can be very important, and certainly it is for me. So I hope that will give you some ideas around plot. Getting the words on the page for your first draft. And one of the things that I think people often struggle with is that the first draft of anything is not very good. And this is a quote, so I think I can say the first draft of anything is shit, and that's by Ernest Hemingway. So I think one of the problems with new writers is that they consider that you need to start with sentence one in chapter one of book one. And they get so worried about that perfect sentence that never happens. I can tell you that the first chapter, or I often use a prologue, you know, that initial idea, it's often never the thing you write first. In fact, you polish that introductory first chapter more times than anything else. So I certainly wouldn't write it first unless you had that idea. But even then, whatever idea you have, just relax and get black on white, which is get words on a page. If you have words on a page, you can edit that into something else. And that's so important to, you know, be able to edit it into a better book. And we'll come on to editing in a minute. But the point here is to just get the words down. And I realize that this is difficult for people. I actually find the first draft is the hardest as well. So I certainly, if you are someone who struggles with that first draft, I get it. But what you have to do is, again, I think come back to trust emergence. If you actually get to the page, something will happen. So let's talk about that specific ways to get that first draft done. So these are some of the things that have made a big difference to me. So the first one is schedule your writing time as you would any other appointment. And these are the things that kind of changed me from being someone who wanted to write to someone who does write and does put out books on a regular basis. So first of all, I actually mean schedule it, whether you use an app on your phone, whether you use a wall calendar, whether you use some kind of diary or whatever you do, schedule your writing time. So as you, many people, parents, for example, are very good at scheduling their children's events, but not their own. Or maybe you schedule your time at the gym, but not your writing time. So really important, get that down. And this is what I've just been doing for the first quarter of 2017, is I've been scheduling the writing periods in my I'm now, those of you who've been around a while with me know that I've been using a Filofax for years. I've actually just moved onto a calendar app on my phone, which is kind of scary, but I've been filling up writing times in my schedule for the next few months so that I won't have any excuse and I won't fill up that time with something else. Now that may be before work, if you have a day job, or you know, before the kids get up or whatever. When I had a day job back in the day, I would get up at 5 a.m. and write for an hour before going to work, because when I got home I was just too tired. So you have to find what that will be in terms of when is the best time for you, but certainly you schedule it whenever that is. The next thing is to then time that writing period. So let's say you get up at 5:30 and you're going to do 45 minutes, because then you know you need to have breakfast and go out to work or whatever. So 45 minutes, you are not allowed to do anything else. You actually have to write. And if you just sit there and write, this is terrible, that's fine, because actually you'll get bored pretty quickly and you'll start writing something. And the other thing is with this is just allow the feelings of discomfort to happen and let them come and let them go. And no one said this was easy, and it's not easy. Well, it's simple, but it's not easy. I think that's the way of putting it. You just need to start writing. Just write whatever, and they don't need to be perfect sentences. Don't use spell checker. Don't start editing. Don't start with chapter one. Just start writing. So I haven't started writing this map book yet. I let things pile up to the point where I really need to write. And if you're in that phase, then still schedule that writing time, because writing is not just the first draft, it's also the thinking. So you can use that time for thinking about character or plot. But when you're actually in the writing period, the first draft phase, then you want to start writing these actual chapters. And the best thing I find is I normally just start with the name of the character. So I'll say, Morgan Sierra walked into the room. Really simple sentence. So then if you've never met Morgan Sierra before, and if I've never written about her, obviously I have, but then I'm like, so what does Morgan Sierra look like? What does the room look like? Why did she walk into the room? What is in the room? You can start asking questions about a simple sentence, and then you can start writing those down. And I promise you, that is the only way to start. So if you do nothing else, if you're struggling with getting your first draft done, then schedule that time and time you're writing. Seriously, that's it. Get black on white. And that's pretty much the most important thing. Okay, so writing is rewriting. So we're now going to assume that you have some chapters. One of the reasons I wanted to bring up story structure before is that in this editing phase, that story structure can be very helpful. For example, if how I edit is I print out my entire manuscript when I finished, you know, when I get to a point where I've gone, okay, whatever happened in the beginning to make my character walk into that room, now we know. And it's ended. The story is ended. Then I print it out and I start to look at it. And at the beginning, you will definitely find there are problems with your structure. For example, does your character actually resolve that open question of whether they were going to attain their goal or not? Are there obstacles in the way, or is it just Morgan walked into the room, picked up the trophy and won the Hunger Games? You know, no, that's not a story. So you have to think about this. So the first thing in the editing phase is really looking at that structure. But I wanted you to also think about editing as an investment in becoming a better writer, because in my opinion, and certainly since I started writing in 2009, I have improved, and I can say I've improved because, you know, my sales have gone up, my books get better reviews, and, you know, I have become a better, in inverted commas, writer than I was by practice and also through paying for edits. And of course, I have a list if you need an edit at thecreativepen.com/editors. But these are the types of edit that I want you to consider. So the first one is the self-edit. As I said, I print out the whole thing and I will scribble on my manuscript by hand. And often these are the big structural movements. It's like, oh, I need another scene here. I often will write a couple of scenes in one character's point of view, and then I will intersperse it later. So there'll be a Morgan chapter, and then there'll be a baddie chapter, and then there's a Morgan chapter and a baddie chapter, because each time you can have a cliffhanger that will take them over into the next chapter. It's like the reader goes, oh, I want to know what happens next, and then you take them somewhere else. So in that self-edit, I will often move chapters around, and Scrivener, again, and I didn't come back to that, but Scrivener software is fantastic. And one of the reasons it's fantastic is because you can drag and drop the chapters, so you don't have to write in order. And that was probably the biggest change for me between book one and book two, is I moved on to Scrivener. I did that first book in Word and it was a nightmare. And then I moved into Scrivener and my life became a whole lot easier. So then I also do line edits at that stage. You know, for example, in this last book, I used the word huge about 150 times. And often you only notice that later. You know, I might have been sitting there going, oh, I need another word, but I'll just write huge because I'm in my first draft. Or everything was green, like literally everything was green everywhere. It was like the Wizard of Oz. So I had to go through and like change color schemes, you know, things like everyone's eyes were green. You can't have every character in a book have green eyes. That just doesn't work. So these are the things you pick up when you self-edit. And I then will get my self-edit to a point where I can't see any more issues, or I'm so sick of it, I need someone else to feedback. And then with my a number of books, I've had structural or story edits, and I still get these for my books because I find these the most useful things in terms of my own improvement. So that structural or story edit will often just be a report. It will be, you know, maybe a couple of pages or 10 pages on what you can do to improve your story. And at the beginning with that first novel, or if you're still in your early phases, that can be really good. Then there's the line edit or the copy edit, which is that classic red pen line by line rewrite thing. And that can be very stressful for a new author. I remember getting it for my first novel and being kind of devastated. But what you have to remember is that the whole point of an editor is to make your writing better. And that's what you're paying for. And I would say that editors are like, you know, a bit like dating. You don't necessarily find your perfect editor on that first edit, but over time you will find people. And I've used a lot of different editors. I just consider it part of the investment in becoming a better writer. And then just before you publish, if you self-publish, then I always get a separate proofread from a separate person, and that is the final typos and grammar, because you've done all these other rewrites, you need to make sure they're fixed up before you publish. If you have a publishing deal, I do suggest you go all the way through to copy edit, because even though they will give you another edit, these days traditional publishers will only pick up good manuscripts that have been through this type of process already. Here are some of my thoughts for getting the book done in a year. Now, I know some of you listening will be thinking, well, you know, I've heard indie authors talk about writing a book in a month or in a week or whatever. And I would say to you, many of those people have been writing books for years, or they are not necessarily, you know, they're I'm not going to comment any further than that, but often people who are writing that fast understand story structure and have some kind of process to follow. If this is, if you're at the beginning of your journey, this is more like the timeline you will be looking at. And in fact, for me, that first novel took 15 months from sort of that first NaNoWriMo in November 2009 to getting the book out in April 2011. So by making it to a year, I'm assuming you've done a bit of work already. So here's how I would split it up. So first of all, for I would say that the idea phase, and I've overlapped it with the first draft because this is what happens to me. I start getting ideas. So this map thing, and I mean, I keep saying map thing and you'll be thinking that I don't have a clue. I don't really have a clue right now. For me, it literally is this big idea. But tomorrow morning in my writing session, I'm going to start thinking about who the main character is and what does she want. And as soon as I get that, I will then start to have some more ideas. And at some point you need to stop doing research and coming up with ideas and start writing that first draft. And that's why I've overlapped it there, because as soon as you have enough ideas to get started with the writing, as soon as you have a character and a character who, you know, and you know what that character wants, you'll start getting some ideas about what will stop them. You know where it's gonna be set. You know the genre. Then I would suggest you do start writing. And I've given you 7 to 9 months to write that first draft with the assumption that you are not a full-time author and you are fitting this in around the rest of your life. Now that might seem a long time, but it will go really fast. So I'm going to give you some how that will break down in a minute. But basically, no excuses, finish the draft. And I know many of you on the call will have notes. Maybe you even have a first draft, or maybe you just can't get that done. Well, this is the no excuses point. And if you're at if you're going through this process, actually set dates. So here we're saying that you will finish that first draft by the end of September 2017. And that's quite a big deal. So that might be a challenge, but you have to set yourself these goals. And if you don't set a goal, it's unlikely you will hit that goal because you won't have one. So I had said that I would publish my book by my birthday in 2011, which was in March, and I made it in April. And if I hadn't, obviously I failed in inverted commas, but actually that was a success because it started me on the journey. Now, once you've got that first draft, you still need to do the self-editing. And I've put that at the end, and there's no overlap because that has to happen after you've finished your first draft. Do not try and edit your book before you've finished that draft. Seriously, that will hold you up because you will realize that it's not so great and you'll start editing and you'll edit that paragraph again and again, and it will be very difficult. So my recommendation, especially for that first novel, until you kind of get hold of your own process, is to spend that time self-editing separately. And then after that, that's the year you will have finished a manuscript, and then you'll be looking for an editor and going through whichever publishing process you want. But that is how I would do a book in a year. Now, just to break that down even further, to get that draft written, you have to look at how many words you're aiming for. And this, it will depend. I mean, you could just aim for a novella, which is a short novel. So if you've read My Day of the Vikings or One Day in Budapest, they're novellas and they're around 27,000 words. Now that's great, it's much easier to write a novella. Versus romance novels are around 50,000. Epic fantasy can be sort of 130,000 words or even more. And my thrillers are normally around 60 to 80,000. And that's a kind of James Patterson length thriller, which is fine for my genre. So have an idea of how many words you're aiming for. And then I've broken it down here. So we're going to say 70,000 words, 7 months, and I'm saying 3 sessions a week. So that gives us 84 writing sessions in total over 7 months, which means you only have to do 833 words per session to complete that first draft. And if you use Scrivener, you can set all these goals and targets and it will calculate how many you've got left and whether you're on track. And that really, really helps. So you can do around 833 words in an hour, or an hour and a half if you're, you know, a little bit slower. You know, at where I am now after 13 novels is I do kind of 2,000 words an hour. But, you know, I'm just saying, if you can give it an hour, you should be able to manage 833 words. And if you do that, you will have written a draft, which is pretty exciting. So the main thing there is, that's 3 sessions a week, 3 hours a week. Can you commit 3 hours a week for actually writing? And that is the big question. That is what is going to make a difference for you. And if you can't commit 3 hours a week, then why not? And what is stopping you? And this is the big question, because you need to be honest about this. What is stopping you? Is it your mindset? Is it that you literally, you know, can't give anything else up? Maybe you have to give up something, another hobby. Maybe you have to stop going out in the evenings or stop watching TV. What are you willing to give up to achieve your goal of writing a novel? And how much do you want this? I hope that many of you really do want this, and that you're ready to commit to that 3 hours a week, and answer that question, what's stopping you? Because that's my challenge, and that's what I wanted to go through with you this evening, is how you can actually write your novel. So, are you ready?